Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness, with Professor Harry Lambright, author of a host of IBM Center reports on leaders and leadership. The space shuttle was a remarkable technological creation, perhaps the most complex machine ever built. It was also an extraordinary government program. Professor Lambright, would you give us a brief history of its genesis and its retirement?
Well, it starts in 1972, with a decision by Nixon, and the man in charge of NASA was a guy named James Fletcher. And the period of development extends to the end of the 70s when Jimmy Carter is president. And at that point, a decision is made to provide it the necessary funds. It was ill-funded in the early days under Nixon. In the early 80s, Reagan is president. James Baggs is administrator. The decision is made that the space shuttle is ready to go operational and that NASA should shift over and begin trying to sell and also build this International Space Station. That turns out to probably be an incorrect decision. It really wasn't ready, but it was moved into that direction of operations. And eventually there was this Challenger disaster in 1986. Took a while for it to recover. By the time, I think it was 88, 89, when it was back to flight. And it flew well for years up until you had the Columbia disaster in 2003. And at that point, people recognized, as they should have recognized earlier, that it was a great machine and tremendously significant in every way, shape, or form. We couldn't have built the space station without it. But that it was flawed and that it was definitely not operational. It was still an experimental machine. And the decision is made that it's going to be retired no later than 2010. Actually, it was retired in 2011.
So there are many leadership lessons, both positive and negative, to be learned from the shuttle experience. Would you elaborate on some of these key leadership lessons?
To some extent, there are two sides of the same coin. To sell a program in an environment such as Fletcher faced back in 72, you have to be optimistic. You have to believe sincerely that a certain technical program is going to be capable of doing what you say it's going to be doing with the amount of money that you can get and in the time that you say it's going to do. And I think that optimism is part of selling in a political environment. And I think he did it well. And he built a constituency for it that involved the Defense Department and industry. He did that, and that's positive. The negative is that he should have pointed out at some point, he or his successor should have pointed out, well, it was pointed out eventually by a successor under Carter, that there had been simply too many technical compromises because of the inability to get not to have the money that you needed to build this thing, and it was creating a machine that had some serious flaws. The lesson is that you have to be optimistic to sell, but you have to be realistic also, and you can go too far in the optimistic direction. Another positive lesson from the shuttle is that a succession of leaders recognized its importance, and they kept it going, even in the face of setbacks such as the Challenger disaster. If they hadn't had a group of leaders who were willing to say, this is our priority, it never would have happened. So I think a lesson to be learned is that it takes us a succession of leaders who have commitment and working in very different kinds of environment to bring about great achievements, because great achievements take a decade or more to bring about.
Professor Lambright, those are very important leadership lessons to learn from the shuttle experience. The proposed NASA space transportation system that has been announced differs from the shuttle system. It is an exploration system bolder and more ambitious than the low Earth orbit shuttle. What's the status of this effort, and how does the approach differ from the previous NASA programs?
Well, this is actually a design more like the Apollo project than it is the shuttle. It involves a rocket with a capsule on top of it. One of the differences between, and it was, and Griffin, when he designed it, called it Apollo on steroids. It's kind of a cross, but it has some shuttle characteristics too, but it also is, but I think it's more like Apollo. It's expensive and will take a long time to build. And the plan is that it will be built in stages and that it will grow in its capacity to lift heavy weights. It ultimately will be a rocket capable of going to the moon and then ultimately to Mars. So it is a major, major, major technological project, much more ambitious than the shuttle. And it will have to be realized over a course of, you know, a couple decades, I suspect.
So, Professor Lambright, the emphasis in our discussion has been on NASA leadership, the shuttle, and lessons that can be learned from the shuttle experience. But such leadership cannot be separated from national leadership. Given your research, what can be done or what will it take to strengthen our national leadership?
Just one other comment about the difference between the new system. I said it was like Apollo. What I think is also clear, and this is relevant to your question you just asked, is that it's, I think NASA, the leadership of NASA recognizes that this new system is going to have much more involvement of the international community, in part because America doesn't have the kind of money it once had. So I think there will be a spillover effect from the International Space Station, which is a successful international project. And I think this new project, going back to the moon on to Mars, I do think it will be very different in organization. I think it will build on the International Space Station model as the years go on, because I do think that globalization is probably one of the big, huge trends of our times and will become more so as time goes on. Now, how does that relate to all this relate to national policy? I think that the difference between a leader and a manager, it seems to me, is the leader does look ahead to where the organization ought to be going. And the same thing applies for a president, looking ahead to where a nation ought to be going. And so I do think the leaders need either have to have vision or they have to have somebody working underneath them who advises them, who has vision about where the country should be going. And then the leader has to be a good politician and has to build a constituency for the vision, whatever it may be a good tactician as well as a strategist. And the leader has to do what Collins did. Recognize that you have to build capacity in an organization to carry on after you're no longer in office. That means a strong agency that can carry the mission forward. And I think that the leader has to be a manager as well as a politician. The politician to build a constituency, the manager to build the capacity to carry out the vision. And I think he has to build a team. I think some of the inadequacies of some of the leaders that I've studied relate not so much to them, but to the fact that they weren't able to build the team around them that had all the necessary ingredients. And it seems to me that national leaders can learn from organizational leaders. But vision, constituency building, capacity building, the ability to look ahead, think long, but act tactically in the short term because they're only in office a certain number of years.
Well, Professor Lambright, I enjoyed our conversation today. Your research for the IBM Center on Leadership is second to none. I know we'll be doing more work together for the next magazine and beyond.
Oh, I've enjoyed it tremendously. I've learned a lot. As I said to you and others, I think it's a tribute to IBM that it has sponsored work on leadership. It's not the kind of subject that you can get money for from the National Science Foundation or almost any other place. But I can't imagine anything more important.
I want to thank Professor Harry Lambright of the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University for joining us today on the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness. You may download a copy of his most recent IBM Center report, Forging Governmental Change, Lessons from Transformations led by Dr. Robert Gates of DOD and Dr. Francis Collins of NIH. You may order or download a free copy of all the reports we discussed today, as well as the articles, at businessofgovernment.org. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.